So you will get rid of me one day. But I'm afraid to say that it's really as an offer. I mean, the elders can find someone else to speak if they wish, and the preaching plan for the next following three times that I'm due to be here, I'm hoping to share with you. It's been a strong message for me to share somewhere else. I'm looking forward to being able to share it with you. It's something that you'll need a strong stomach for, because it's talking about our day and age now and what we can expect in our anticipation of the coming of the Lord. And, well, you'll hear more about it if you're here to hear. So our scripture reading for today, though, based on our talk, which is about building up reserves, you'll see comes from Genesis 41. And I'm just going to read straight through this particular passage or passages. So you'll notice that there are a selection of verses through Genesis chapter 41. So starting from the beginning, it reads like this in the New Living Translation. 2 full years later, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing on the bank of the Nile River. In his dream, he saw 7 fat, healthy cows come up out of the river and begin grazing in the marsh grass. Then he saw 7 more cows come up behind them from the Nile, but these were scrawny and thin. These cows stood beside the fat cows on the riverbank. Then the scrawny, thin cows ate the 7 healthy fat cows. At this point in the dream, Pharaoh woke up. But he fell asleep again and had a second dream. This time he saw 7 heads of grain, plump and beautiful, growing on a single stalk. Then 7 more heads of grain appeared, but these were shriveled and withered by the east wind. And these thin heads swallowed up the 7 plump, well-formed heads. Then Pharaoh woke up again and realized it was a dream. The next morning, Pharaoh was very disturbed by the dreams. So he called all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. When Pharaoh told them his dreams, not one of them could tell him what they meant. Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought from the prison. After he shaved and changed his clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream last night, and no one here can tell me what it means. But I've heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it. It is beyond my power to do this," Joseph replied. "But God can tell you what it means and set you at ease." Joseph responded, "Both the Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God is telling Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. The 7 healthy cows and the 7 healthy heads of grain both represent 7 years of prosperity. The 7 thin, scrawny cows that come up later and the 7 thin heads of grain withered by the east wind represents 7 years of famine. This will happen just as I have described it, for God has revealed to Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. The next 7 years will be a period of great prosperity throughout the land of Egypt, but afterwards there will be 7 years of famine, so great that all the prosperity will be forgotten in Egypt. Famine will destroy the land. this famine will be so severe that even the memory of the good years will be erased. As for having two similar dreams, it means that these events have been decreed by God, and he will soon make them happen. May God bless us as we consider this story today. Seems funny being over this side. So, I don't know if you noticed, with the songs that we've sung so far, obviously very harvest orientated, and year by year and a little bit more year by year, I kind of think to myself, we're not really farmers, are we? And we plough the fields and scatter. But I do know that there are some who tend their garden well, and so one or two that have allotments and so on, as has been mentioned already. But whatever it is that we produce during the year, or is it just that we try and produce and we feed the slugs and snails, it is a bit of an effort on our part. But here we have today a double opportunity. Did you notice the words of one of those songs? It was the chorus of the last song, wasn't it? All good gifts around us. And today we have the opportunity of thanking God for provision by way of food, things grow and whatever, but also through what we call the bread and wine, the communion service, Jesus' provision for us. One would only be very temporal if it wasn't for the other. If you don't know which way around it is, I'll let you think that one through. So on to our scripture reading today, and there is this saying, maybe you know it, it wasn't always familiar to me. It's been one of these that I've in more recent years heard it said. And it's one of those ones that you say the first half of the sentence and then everyone knows what you mean in the second half, because it's all about reversing a couple of words. So what am I saying? If I start to say, if you fail to plan, okay, you all knew it better than I ever did, but I've known it for a few years, but not all my life, and it's just like, why didn't I know that before? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Well, building up reserves is really all of this combined into one, and that's what I want to do by way of reflection. And in a sort of style like what we've had in bygone years with Express Church, I'm willing for you to heckle and speak up and so on and interact a little bit. Because what is it that's going on in this story? Genesis chapter 41, 2 full years later, so we're not going to dig into that too much, but things have happened to Joseph. And now we've got at this point, and what's happening? What's happening? I'm not saying you've fallen asleep, yeah? I hope you. Now, who's fallen asleep? Pharaoh. Okay, Pharaoh's fallen asleep, and what happens when he's asleep? He has a dream. Yeah, there's an inspiration. There's a good tagline. I wonder if, no, that's been used already. But he doesn't just have one dream, does he? Yeah, it's all right. We're trying to drop these funny lines in, Chris, but people weren't getting it in Sabbath school, was it? But anyway, he didn't have one dream. I have a dream. He has two dreams. He has two dreams. And what are these dreams about? Cows and wheat. Yes. So let's kind of reflect a little bit, because there's some kind of interesting details here that would be easy to miss. But this dream is sort of like a parable, and a parable just has one main point. But there are some details here. Where did the cows come from? Out of the river. Has anyone been on a sunny day, at least, a warm day, to somewhere where cows are in a field and there is some water around? Has anyone? No? Maybe I'm... So what I'm getting at, has anyone seen cows standing in water? Huh? They go for shade rather than water. So these cows somehow come out of the water. Which cows come out of the water? All of them. All of them. Both the fat ones and the thin ones. They all come out of the water. And in coming out of the water, what do we have? The fat cows, they come out and they're doing okay for themselves. What do they start doing? What does your translation say? They're grazing in the meadow. Yeah, it's just doing what cows do. And then there's the fat cows. And then what happens with the skinny cows? They come up and what do? They eat the fat cows. Now, imagine you've just woken up this morning and you suddenly thought, that was a funny dream. What would you think if you just had this dream? Anyone? Yeah, you think that was really weird. There's a bit kind of psychedelic here. And maybe I shouldn't have had that cheese sandwich last night. Anyway, but what if you'd had both of these dreams? What was the second dream? What was growing? And what happens to this healthy, plump growth? Yeah, this is where it gets even more weird. I mean, at least cows have mouths, so they can eat things. And you know, a skinny cow eating a big cow is kind of weird. But how does that work with a grain, a thin, scrawny grain? And anyway, it's a metaphor of something else. So it's no wonder with this double emphasis, the similar kind of dream, one thing that seems to be doing well gets consumed by something that isn't doing well. So it's no wonder that the Pharaoh wakes up and he's just like, what is going on? What is this about? It meant even more to him because for them and that time, they put a lot of emphasis on what happens in your dreams. So, of course, if he thinks this must mean something, who does he call for? Ghostbusters. No, that's another film. Who does he call for? His magicians. His magicians and wise men of Egypt. Why wouldn't you? Who can you think of, those that know other Bible stories, to do with Pharaoh and to do with calling for magicians? The plagues. This is a few hundred years later, in the time of Moses, and the Pharaoh does the same kind of thing. So this kind of tradition stays on. The time of Joseph didn't change everything, but it did change that Pharaoh's life and seemingly the people of Egypt as well because of what goes on in the story. But here we have the Pharaoh, he's calling the people, his advisors. Look, I've had this dream. What does it mean? And what do they say? Yeah, shrugging emoji. Yeah, I don't know. I can imagine them thumbing through any of their, well, it wouldn't have been necessarily books. What is it? You know, it might have just been clay tablets. No, not that one, not that one. No, don't know, Pharaoh. And bits of the story that we missed out in the reading. Someone says, oh, I know someone. So Joseph gets called for. What does Joseph do when he gets out of prison? Yeah, he has a bit of a clean-up, doesn't he? So the New Living Translation reads, after he shaved and changed his clothes. What do you think the shaving bit means? Has he not been shaving for the last few years? Well, we won't labour this too much because we could get into some other sidetracks and so on. But there is one commentary that I read that was suggesting that what he was doing was trying to fit in with the culture. Now, he was not Egyptian. I hope you knew that. He was not Egyptian. But he was trying to fit in with the culture. He had been sent by his brothers, sold. And he had ended up in Egypt. Various stories had happened to him. He's a foreigner. But he's called in before Pharaoh. And what does he do? He dresses and grooms himself to kind of fit in with Pharaoh's culture. And he goes to Pharaoh and he asks Pharaoh, well, okay, here I am, what's your dream? And they have this conversation. And do you see how Joseph deflects the possibility, the ability, the skill that is initially portrayed onto Joseph? Hey, Nathan, I hear that you can. Hey, Colin, I know that you can. Hey, Wilma, can you? How do each of us respond when we're asked to do something and offer our skills? It's nice to take some credit for things, but that wasn't Joseph. When Pharaoh says, I have heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph says, it's beyond my power to do this. But God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. But God can. Now, whenever we are brought in front of someone else, whenever we have the opportunity to speak, let's make sure that we're like Joseph, because it's easy to smile and take some credit. But let's make sure we give credit to where credit's due. I can't, but God can. So they have this conversation. And another point that maybe I have skipped over before, maybe you've all absorbed this detail, but reading from verse 14 through to 16, Joseph responded, both of Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God is telling Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. What God is about to do. Does God do anything as a surprise? Does God bring blessings on people as a surprise? Does God bring curses on people as a surprise? You know, if we went back a little bit further and then read on as well into Exodus, we would see that what God goes on to say is, look, if you're going to behave as though I am your God and you are my people, then this is the arrangement. But if you don't want it, then there might be some curses. If you do want it, I will be able to bless you. What God is going to do, God certainly through time tries to paint a future picture. This is what's going to happen. Have you got that yet? Got that? What is going to happen? You're sitting in a Seventh-day Adventist church, And you might say, seventh day, yes, because that's about the Sabbath and that's why I'm here and so on. What about the Adventist bit? Have you got what is going to happen? Jesus has come once and he promised that he will come again. Have you got what is about to happen? So when Joseph says these words to Pharaoh, he is about to do. We should wake up and think, what else has God promised that he is about to do? And am I ready? Because the rest of the story is about, as the sermon title this shows, building up reserves. What Joseph goes on to explain is that 7 years of prosperity, 7 years of famine. Nice and simple. And then what we didn't read is what Pharaoh goes on to do and says, well, you're my man. This is great news to be able to understand the dream. It's not good news of what's going to happen. I mean, that was terrible. Did you see what Joseph said? It's going to be so bad that you're going to forget about the good years. How comfortable are you now? Are you in your 7 years of prosperity? No, I'm not really prosperous, Nathan. You can't impose that on me. But what if you're about to have 7 worse years than what you've got now? Are you prepared? Do you know what's about to happen? I read the story with this in mind, that God has told us what he is going to do. That was a there and then. But there is an application for us now. God has told us what he is going to do. He's going to return. But in that returning, there's going to be other stuff happening. And just like Joseph's counsel to Pharaoh, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. In this time of relative comfort, everything's kind of easy. Excuse me. I think that's why in the book of Revelation we have a reference of the end time kind of people. If that's the way that we need to read it, are kind of relaxed, too chilled out. What are they called? Lukewarm? Yeah, everything's easy. My faith is easy. I'm not really challenged. But maybe in a strange kind of way, these are our prosperous years. It's not difficult, is it? But are we getting ready for the years of famine? Just want to draw your attention, because I know we've got another part of our service with the communion today. I will warn you, I've already said, if it's okay with the elders and everyone else, I will keep some of my preaching appointments, because I'd love to share those other messages with you. But they will be, I wouldn't say bring your packed lunch, but they will be a little bit longer than what I normally preach. But so I'm just trying to make up for that now and keeping this succinct. But with the story of Pharaoh and Joseph in mind, the years of prosperity and the years of famine, I'm very mindful of the words of Jesus in Matthew 25. You probably have your Bible heading in different kind of ways, the 10 virgins or the bridesmaids or whatever. Are you starting to recall what the story is? And what happens in that story? Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven is like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom and so on. 5 had done what and 5 had not done what? Because they all fell asleep. The story isn't about people falling asleep. But only half of them had prepared, ready for something later. They were in a time of waiting. And waiting. And waiting. But only half had prepared. And half of who? This isn't half of the world. How does Jesus start that story? This is in amongst a whole other load of kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids. The kingdom of heaven is talking about the believers, not the whole world. Before you start mentally looking around the room thinking who's prepared and who hasn't, maybe look at yourself. Are you prepared during these years of relative prosperity? Or have we lacked in our time of preparation? You will achieve nothing by doing nothing at this time. Because when things get difficult, you'll find your oil has run out. It'll be too late. It'll be too late to, like Joseph, store up your provisions. What are you doing about storing up your spiritual provisions right now? Because one day it will be too late to start. There's a song, you know, I like mentioning songs in the talk. I wonder if anyone knows this one. Various artists have covered it, written by Curtis Mayfield, I believe. Bearing in mind my point of emphasis today is just about building up reserves. Are you prepared for what is to come? The song is called People Get Ready. One or two people starting to nod. Let me just share with you some of these lines. People get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors and board them. There's hope for all among those loved the most. There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who would hurt all mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner, for there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. So people, get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. This time of thanksgiving, when we thank God for his provision, not just a harvest provision, our day-to-day, week-by-week provision. As we thank God for this provision of his Son, a death and resurrection that we might have eternal life one day, let us make sure that we have all prepared and we've got on board.